This is the gospel. It's good news. And it's from a far country. My country. It's from heaven. That's where I belong. And everyone here tonight could belong to heaven if they just believe this glorious gospel. I want to start with a verse before we sing, maybe two. Ezekiel. We'll be in Ezekiel, so you might as well open Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel. Chapter 3. Verse 10. Ezekiel 3:10. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Go, and tell them, Thus says the Lord God. You know, this carries a solemn responsibility. In Jeremiah 23, I think it's 28, Jeremiah said, or really the Lord to Jeremiah, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell the dream. But he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. There's a lot of dream prophets on pulpits in Christendom. But I have a solemn responsibility to preach this precious word faithfully. Ezekiel 3:11 says, tell them, tell them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear to hear. In Acts 28, we won't turn to it, right at the end. The Christian leaders of that day, I shouldn't say Christian, the religious leaders of that day, asked Paul, we would like to know, we'd like to hear what thou believest. And if anyone asked the Apostle Paul what he believed, they would hear faithfully. Because he said, I came among you to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he preached unto them concerning the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, God's Son. And so it's a very solemn thing. And it says, some believed, some believed not. That divides this room. That divides Walla Walla. That divides the state of Washington. And that divides the United States and Canada, and it divides the world. Some believe, and some believe not. And that's the only division there is among sinners. It's a solemn thing to hear the word of God and not believe it. So we're going to sing number 35, Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever true or new, he that believeth on the Son, tis true, hath everlasting life. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He has saved me free. He has delivered on the Son. Thank you. Still three, chapter 3 of Ezekiel. Verse 15. Then I came to them by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat, and I remained there astonished among them 7 days. Ezekiel sat by the river Chebar. That's where the Lord told him to go. And he sat there 7 days. Why? To receive a message from heaven. That's why. 7 is really the number of heavenly perfection. There he was at Chebar, by the river. Chebar means abundant power. That's what he had. That's what I have. This is abundant power. It can save. The blood of Jesus can cleanse from all sin. The name of Jesus can save a soul. And the Word of God can save. This is power. You have it in your hands. You hold power. Marvelous thought. Chebar. But the river at Chebar speaks of continuous flow of water. Water speaks typically in the Word of God of just that, the Word of God. Every time this book is opened, the Bible, there's a flow of the Word of God going out, and there's power. Now that's where Ezekiel was. He was by the river of Chebar. And he remained there astonished 7 days. 16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days he received the message from heaven. Hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. That's the message. Give them warning from me. Without the faithful warning in the Word of God from God Himself, there's no gospel. To preach God is love is not enough. God is light. And unless you realize your condition, sinner, and your peril, you can't get saved. Give them warning from me. That was the message to Ezekiel by the river at Chebar. You know, it's the warning that goes out whenever the gospel is faithfully preached. Jonah had a message from the Lord to take to Nineveh, that great and exceeding wicked city. And what was the message? It was the gospel message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh is destroyed. Give them warning from me. Was that enough gospel for that great city?
That was enough.
That was enough.
They heard. They didn't forbear, they heard.
And that day, Nineveh was saved.
Now, wonderful, isn't it, really?
Well, we got more of a gospel than that, but that's enough.
Give them warning from me, said God. I was in England. Well, this was quite a while ago, maybe 4 years.
But I was driving on the wrong side with a frantic wife, you know, and going through roundabouts and all this.
I stopped at a petrol station in Billericay just to get information on how to reach my next destination. And that man looked at me and said, where are you going? And I told him what for, and I gave him a track. And he said, can we be sure? And I said, are you sure you're going to heaven? Nobody can be sure of that. Well, I said, your Queen Victoria was, and I am, and you ought to be. Well, he got a little nervous, and he pulled out paper and started to draw these instructions. And he got to one spot, and he drew a big roundabout with about 8 exits. And 4 of the exits went to another roundabout with about 2 or 3 exits each. And he showed me exactly which ones to take. Then he looked very solemn. He said, now be warned. This has to be followed exactly. And I want to tell you, he said, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Well, I got another track out, and it said, asleep in the boat. And I gave it to him. I said, thank you for the instructions. Now, you ought to read this, and then you'll be warned. And I said, friend, remember something. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Well, I hope you read it. But you're going to get warned tonight. And I hope you hear and not forbear to hear. Now we'll look on. Verse 22. And the hand of the Lord was upon me there, or there upon me. And he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will talk with thee. And then I arose and went forth into the plain. And behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar. And I fell on my face. I fell on my face. You know, the prophet was now in the right position and attitude to receive the Word of God. 12 of us were on our face just shortly ago. And I went up those stairs for prayer, weak as could be. But I came down just as bold as could be. What happened? You know, 12 is a number scripturally of collective responsibility. And we often have 40 or 50 in a prayer meeting. There's only 12. But the Lord wanted me to know that your brethren have met their responsibility. And I got courage with that. I got courage right now to warn you. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he said, I will talk with thee. And I rose and went to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there. And the Lord, which I saw by the river Chebar, I fell on my face. You know, anyone that's privileged, like I am, to preach from this precious word, the gospel of God's grace, is so responsible and so privileged. And I wish everyone who was privileged to speak the gospel should not fail to sense the solemnity of this message. I sometimes hardly feel qualified to walk up onto a podium. But then I open the Word of God and I realize it's nothing to do with me. It's all to do with the Lord who said simply, give them warning from me. You know, it's a matter of life or death, the gospel.
heaven or hell. That's what it is. Verse 27. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus says the Lord God, He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear. That's what the Lord told Ezekiel. Isn't that a solemn thought?
That's a solemn thought to me. Seven times in the Gospels alone, you have this. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Seven times. Seven times in the first three chapters of Revelation, you've got this. To him that hath an ear, let him hear.
You know, God's pretty serious about this, isn't he? Pretty serious. You have ears. But you know how many will not hear with an ear of faith? That's the point. He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear. To forbear to hear this word with an ear of faith until death or until the coming of the Lord is an eternally fatal mistake. Solomon, eternally fatal mistake. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And just one verse. Three. And part of it only. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live.
Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
And that's how you're saved. But it says, incline your ear. Now, how many here know what incline really means? Or do you have to go to Webster? I went to Webster. But incline means to make it willing. To make it willing. That's what the Lord says. Come. That's the message. That's the word that you have to hear. Come. In Matthew 11:28, the Lord Jesus said this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest unto your soul. Peace with God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Peace with God about the sin question. Well, that's the message. But he said one more thing. John 5, I think. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that pretty wonderful? It doesn't matter how bad you are or how good you are in your own thoughts, you might as well come. He will not cast you out. He'll take you in. There isn't a sin too bad or a mess of sins too great for the Lord Jesus to take care of it. He just says, come unto me. And being justified by faith, you'll have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message. That's the message that Ezekiel was to give. But there's more. Back to Ezekiel, this time 18. Ezekiel Chapter 18. There's more to the message.
Verse 3 at the beginning of it. As I live, saith the Lord God. Verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son. I can add this, as the soul of the mother, so also the soul of the daughter. All souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. You know, that's the warning. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news.
Verse
The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Look at verse 20, just the first part. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You know, when the Lord repeats something, it's very, very important. Very important. You know, sin is the great equalizer of all mankind. That's the point. There are no preferences in the morgue. None at all. There's no first class going there either. There's a democracy in the morgue. Romans 5:12. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all, because all have sinned. God and death both are no respecter of persons. That's the equalizer, the great equalizer. In death, the king and the beggar are equal. That's the democracy of the morgue. It's true democracy. You know, the Roman poet Horace, he wrote this: pale death, with impartial step, knocks on the poor man's cottage, and the king's palace too. And the king's palace too. So I just bring that out. Sin is the great equalizer of all mankind. Romans 3:22 and 23, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have this thought from Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, apart from the man that gave him the wisdom, the man Christ Jesus. He said, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now that's from the wisest that ever lived here. I have only met two men that said they never sinned. Only two. I don't think there would be anybody here that would say I never sinned. But some do. And the first one said it because he didn't believe there is such a thing as sin. Well, he got rid of that problem real easy, didn't he? A man got saved. 42, he got saved. That's how old he was. You know how long he had to live? 11 months. Sin took its toll. Drugs, whiskey, cigarettes, and riotous living made him a dissipated thing. He only had 11 months. But I had a letter from him just before he died. He was in Indiana. And he said, my prayer is that God will give me more time to serve him. He didn't have any more. But the good part about it is he's saved. He's in glory. I want to see him again. His name was Roby, last name. This other man who said he never sinned, a little different story. I told it before, but it really struck me. I was in the Maritimes. I was in the capital of New Brunswick. I was in the house of saints. I mean Christians. Same thing. We just had breakfast. We're drinking our coffee. We're reading from Leviticus and enjoying the blood, the precious blood. Torrential rain, you know, cats and dogs. Couldn't see out the window for even 5 inches. Knock on the door. The hostess got up and opened the door, and here stood this dissipated man, drenched, blood coming out of the side of his eye, terrible looking clothes, partial beard from not shaving. He said, can I come in? Well, come on in, she said. Took his clothes and hung it up to drip dye in his hat, and put a big towel over the chair and invited him to sit down with us. She said, you need something to eat? Oh, yes. And before he left, He consumed at least 2 loaves of toast with a whole jar of strawberry jam, 8 glasses of milk. And we talked about the blood.
We went on and talked about the blood.
And you know, he was a nervous, very nervous man. He had a serviette, napkin. And every time he got done drinking the milk, he'd just sort of take that napkin and wrap around. Then he'd eat, he'd take that napkin and the knife. And he just was always wiping things with the napkin. Sort of made me nervous. When he got done, we'd ask him,
"Are your sins washed in the blood of Jesus?"
You know what he said? "I never sin.
I never sin." That's what he said. "I just make mistakes." He said, "Can I go now?" And I said, "Can I go now?"
Of course. He went to the door, put on his coat and hat, and stood there.
We looked at him, but he looked at us.
He said, "Isn't somebody going to open the door for me?"
Well, she went to open the door. And then I realized he'd made a real big mistake.
Yeah. He could wipe everything clean from fingerprints,
but he couldn't wipe
the doorknob from the inside when he's outside. So when he left, we called the police. He escaped. And he was dangerous. He never sinned. He just makes mistakes. Oh, don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. And unless you know that, you can't be saved. Don't make excuses. Don't think other things. Don't eliminate God's word. This is why he gives you a warning.
I want to turn to Ezekiel, still 18, but verse 23. Turn to 23.
"Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" That's a beautiful verse to me. "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die?"
You know what it tells me? Judgment is God's strange work.
Blessed. Verse 3 to 5. God our Savior. Isn't that a lovely expression? God our Savior. Two things I love to give to those overseas in heathen lands. That's one of them. The other is God is love. They never think of God that way. They think of God as a hard, austere master,
a ruler that likes to punish.
God our Savior. I hope you've got your ears open. God our Savior. Who will have all men to be saved. That's his will tonight about every sinner here who isn't saved. And come into the knowledge of the truth. There's only one God, one mediator between man and God. It's the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm going to tell you, faithfully, sinner, if you're lost, this is your due time. This is your due time. I don't know how many you've had before. I know you've had others before. But I can tell you, faithfully, this is your due time. It may be the last for you, solemn, isn't it, to be testified to you in due time. Well, I'll get another. Let's see. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not willing that any perish. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful news? He's not willing that any perish. God would have all to be saved. Luke 13:1-4. I won't turn to it. But the Tower of Siloam fell. You know, we have great catastrophes now. You know, Valuejet, how many people, I don't know. Things are happening.
And the disciples expected the Lord to say something kind about the 18 that it killed when it fell on them. And what did Jesus say? You think those 18 were sinners more than you? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Give them warning for me. What's the use of being sorry for the ones that died lost? There's still ones living who can be saved. That's what the Lord wants you to know. That's what He wants you to know. Well, maybe I can think of one more verse on this line. John 3:16. Automatically, I think many of the children know right what it is. Could recite it. For God so loved, I love to give that to the heathen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever, give a warning from me, whether they'll hear, whether they'll forbear, whosoever. Let's see, I've got to go start again. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wasn't that beautiful? That's the gospel. That's not like Nineveh had 120,000 babies alone. No, it's not like that. 40 days and you're destroyed. That's Nineveh's gospel. They all got saved. But this tells you, without any question, you'll never perish. You'll have eternal life right now. All you have to do is hear with an ear of faith and believe it. Isn't that wonderful? I just love to preach the gospel. You know, there may be some here who are still lost. I don't know. God knows. It's awful. There may be some here who took the place of being Christians and on the way to hell. God knows. That's why the gospel's continually preached. You know, let's see. Ezekiel 18, where were we? 23. I have no pleasure at all that the wicked should die. Now verse 25. All right. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear ye, is not my way equal? And your ways unequal, says the Lord. You know, isn't that sad? They say, what is equal? Fair. Just. They say to the Lord, your way is not fair. It's not just. He says, is not my way equal? Is it not fair? Are not your ways unequal? You know, that's the gospel. Man has all kind of ways. That's religion. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Religion never saved a soul. Never. Religion never will. Only faith in a man, the Son of God, the man Christ Jesus saves. Nothing else. Is not my way equal? You know, just consider this now for His way. I'll give you a couple verses for His way that's equal. Galatians 3:22. You can turn if you wish. Galatians 3:22. There's many, but just a few will help out to see how fair He is. Galatians 3:22. All right. I didn't get you. Pardon me for taking a little while here. All right. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Everyone here is under sin. When you're saved, you're in Christ, but that's a different story we'll get to. The Scripture has concluded all under sin. Why? Because God's equal. That's why. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given
to them that believe. Is not God equal? Is not God fair? I mean, can there be anything fairer than that? Back to our portion. I'll give you another one. There's a lot. Let's see. Am I not equal? Yeah. Romans 11. Romans 11. I won't turn to it. 32. God hath concluded them all in unbelief. Why? That he might have mercy upon you all. Is he equal? I think that's beautiful, don't you? He's equal. That's it. He's fair. There isn't anything more fair than that. I'll give you one more. Romans 10, 12, and 13. You think, there is no difference, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that believe, or that call upon him, I think. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, there's no question about it, no doubt about it, shall be saved. Am I not equal, says the Lord? And yet they say, you are not equal. You are not equal. You know how solemn. If any turn and repent, I believe that's what I want next. Let's see, it's in here. 30, verse 30. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity will not be your ruin. Verse 25, am I not equal, says the Lord? The Lord is equal. I think it's so beautiful. What does it mean? Turn. Repent. Well, I can tell you one thing. There is no salvation for any sinner without repentance. It's impossible. But repentance is the easiest thing there is. Stubborn wills don't let you do it. But it's very easy. And it's the most blessed emotion there is when you repent. Because the blessings just pour out then to you from God. Repent, it says here. Repent, verse 30. Turn yourselves from your... So iniquity be not your ruin. Now, verse 31 at the end. For why will ye die? This is the Lord speaking. Why will ye die? 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, says the Lord God. Wherefore, turn or repent and live. Repentance is merely believing God and what he says about you. That's all. God says all have sinned, believe it. God says the soul that sinneth, it shall die, believe it. God says none can help themselves, you're lost, believe it. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get saved. That's all God wants you to do. Admit what he says about you is true. Here now, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? If any turn and repent, he shall surely live and not die. And yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Turn to verse 31 at the end. For why will ye die? I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Sinner, you're qualified. You are qualified for heaven. I can say that on the strength of the Word of God. Every sinner is qualified. You have all the prerequisites you need to get into heaven. That's it. You're a sinner. If you can only admit it, that's the first prerequisite to get into heaven. And the second is, you're lost. Not unsaved. A lot of them say unsaved. You're lost. You know, to be saved, you first have to be lost. People would like to hear that word, lost. I love it. It's the only way it'll bring a sinner to repentance. And if you can confess that, you know, it says in Romans, when they were yet without strength, Christ died for them. You can't do one thing for your own soul, not one thing, to get into heaven. You're without strength. But it also says, when they were sinners, Christ died for them. And when they were enemies, Christ died for them. Am I not equal and fair, says the Lord? I think it's so beautiful. Am I not equal and fair? Turn to Lamentations, chapter 1. Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 1. And verse 21. Now, this is solemn to the point of being scary. I'm going to give it to you anyway. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And this scares me. This really scares me. It is solemn. I'm going to start at the end of verse 21. Thou wilt bring the day that thou hast called, and they shall be like unto me. Let all their wickedness come before thee, and do unto them as thou hast done unto me. This is the Lord speaking. This is the Lord speaking. It is so solemn. Thou wilt bring that day that thou hast called, and they shall be like unto me. You know, the day is appointed already for judgment. It's appointed. The judge is also appointed. Everything's decided. The judgment of this world is over. And that day is coming very soon. It's Acts 17:31. But when he says, thou wilt bring that day that thou hast called, and they shall be then like unto me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sinless Holy One, is my substitute in judgment. God cannot overlook sin. He didn't overlook one of my sin, and I had a mountain of them. He judged his Son instead of me. And that goes for every soul that's saved. You know, this is solemn. When he was on that cross, there was 3 hours of darkness. It was so awful. So awful. And when he was made sin, this world shook. Because a holy God punished that blessed one for the sin of this world and for the sins of any sinner who receive him. And he took that terrible punishment, stroke after stroke after stroke. You know what? You will never know, never, the cost that Jesus paid in those 3 hours. You'll never find it out. Never. Now, he was my substitute. I don't have to be punished for one little sin. Isn't that wonderful? No wonder for I love to preach the gospel. I'm judgment free because another died for me in my place, at my stead. And God didn't overlook my sins. He was just when he justified me because he punished a substitute, his own Son, in my place for my sins. Now, he says here, thou wilt bring that day, the day of judgment. Thou hast called, it's already appointed. And they shall be like unto me. Who's he talking about? Every sinner who would not believe or receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved, that's who he's talking about. And in a sense, you're going to be just like the Son of God when he was made sin. But it'll never end. It'll never end. Never end. It's so hard to think about it. This is so awful. Is he not equal? I'll give you a verse. John 5:24. You tell me if he's equal. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you're hearing it, and believeth on him that sent me, hath, H-A-T-H, got it now, hath eternal life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed already from death unto life. Is he not equal? Could he be fairer? There isn't anything could be fairer than that. And yet they say, thou art not equal. Why was this written? Why was this book written? One verse will tell you. John 20, verse 31. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Neither is there any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Oh, God is so dramatic when he gets to the condition of your soul. You must be saved. Absolutely essential, sinner. God says, give them warning from me. And yet they said, thou art not equal. Thou art not fair. Young man, 19, Terry, was over to his boss's woods. His boss told him, behind my house is this nice woods. You eat with wood, you can cut and take what you want. He went alone, chainsaw, and he was cutting. And he got that saw caught in the log, and it stopped. You know what he did? He tried to start it in the log. It started, but it jumped up and it cut him right across here. The blood just gushed out like a new discovered oil well. He put his hand in the gash and he started to run for the boss's house at 200 feet. He got weak quick. You know what he said to himself? I'm going to die. And I'm not ready. He had heard the gospel just like you boys and girls in Sunday school. He knew. God's faithful. And as he ran and got weaker, he said, I'm going to get saved now. I'm going to get saved right now. And then he stopped. You know what he said? This isn't fair to God. Just the reverse of what they said. You're not fair. He said, this isn't fair to God. All my life, 19 years, I lived the way I want. I rejected everything. I never would listen or receive it. Now that I know I'm going to die, I'll take it. You know when he said that, this isn't fair? That's repentance. That's repentance. You know what happened to him? He got saved. Well, I could tell you the rest of the story, but we don't have time. That's enough. Terry got saved. Because he realized it isn't fair, sinner, when you've refused all these years, and you say, well, maybe I'll take him when there's no more hope for me here. That's not fair to God. But God will still receive you because he's equal. He's fair. I think it's so beautiful. All are without excuse. Oh, look at the time. All are without excuse. Everyone. Romans 1:20. That's right. If you end up at the great white throne judgment and you face the Lamb of God as your judge and you wish you could flee from the wrath of the Lamb, what are you going to say? I will tell you what. You will be speechless. That's right. Speechless. How awful. How awful. Well, you know there was a man who neglected
I hope nobody's neglecting. Because if you neglect, it's the same thing as reject if you die or the Lord comes. Doesn't matter which. That's rejecting. Too late. Well, that's the way he was. He was wealthy, he was moral living, he was religious, and so on. too busy for Jesus. Too busy. He had a dream. You know, God speaks through dreams. I don't make a lot out of that, but he does speak through dreams. He's spoken to me that way, maybe you. This man dreamt he was at the great white throne judgment. What an awful dream. And the books were open. And every wicked thought he ever had, every wicked thing he ever did, every sin he ever committed, were flashed before him in a moment. And he knew he was going to hell. He was speechless. And he finally collected himself. And you know what he said? This isn't fair. You're not equal. That's what he said in his dream. This isn't fair. I didn't know I was going to die so quick. It's not fair. That's what he said. I didn't know I had so little time to live. That's what he said. You didn't warn me. Blame God? Never work. It'll never work. You know, the answer came in his dream. Your claim would be good if it were true. That's the answer. And then he heard this. At age 20, when you almost died and you feared death, you received a good, clear warning then from your friends who were safe. When your father passed away, you heard a clear gospel from your father's lips and from the preacher that took the funeral. When you buried your son, you were warned a third time, a faithful warning by the man who gave that funeral. And on and on. You know, he woke up in a sweat. He fell right down on his knees. Yeah. And right then and there, he took Jesus as his Savior. But you know, you may not have that opportunity. God is faithful. He warns many ways. But you got the opportunity right now. I think it's wonderful. Some believe and some believe not. And that's the way you came in this room. I don't know who's which. But I do know she believes. He didn't believe. She believes. He believes not. And that's the way you came in. That's the only way you could come in here. But you don't have to go out that way. That's the gospel. And you know, the group that believe can increase. But the group that believe not can only decrease. That's the only way that it'll change. The only way. I hope you all go out of here in one group. You believed. That's it. You believed. This is the word of God. You believed. I'm going to turn. I got a minute. No, I don't. I'll still turn. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. We're getting into the real warning. And in chapter 6 of Revelation, let's see. I'm going to skip it because there isn't time. Great white throat judge. I'll wait. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. I'll read 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. That means forever. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. That's forever. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. That's forever. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. That's for eternity. Isn't that solemn? A Christian doctor attended a convention of 3 days at Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Early morning, first day, he got up, took a walk on the boardwalk in the sun, enjoyed it. He met another doctor.
He talked to him about creation, about God's wonderful ways,
and about Jesus. They ate breakfast together, and he prayed.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed. Next day, in the morning, he got up early again.
Take a little walk and enjoy the sunrise.
As he's coming back, he saw the same doctor. And he said, "Isn't the Lord wonderful? Isn't the Lord good?"
Talking about the sun and all.
You know, that man, that other doctor, looked angry.
He said, "I came here to have a good time. I don't want to hear about Jesus anymore." And he turned in anger, took one step, and he was in eternity. Heart attack. That's a solemn story. It's true.
Solemn, isn't it?
It's true. Eternity. You know that word only appears once in this whole book, the Bible. But it affects everybody here. Everybody. It's in Isaiah 57:15. I won't read it. You can look at it later. I'm going to just give you in closing a little thought of eternity. A simple definition is it's as long as God is God. But that didn't satisfy me. And I did see a poem I love, and I'm going to read it. And I want you to think about it. And I'm done. Because you're going to have to face eternity. I copied it. I don't memorize poems. I memorize the Word of God as far as I'm able. Count the little drops of water that within the ocean lies, and count the many stars that twinkle as you gaze into the sky. And count the sands upon the deserts and upon the ocean shores. Count the moments in your lifetime come, but you'll return no more. And count the leaves.